بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So inshallah, today is the 30th session of the Seerah Nabawiyyah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And last week we began to speak about the persecution and the torture that the Sahaba had to go through. And previously, before that, we talked about the persecution that the Prophet ﷺ himself went through. So last week, we talked about a little bit how the Sahaba, they were beaten because of pronouncing their Islam in public and being Muslim and not going back on the religion. And one of the examples I gave was one of the slave girls of Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu anhu, and her name was Zunaira. She became blind because of the beatings, and then eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her her sight back. Another incident that I talked about in detail was the incident of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam if they can pronounce Islam, they can give da'wah in public. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam first told him that it's better not to do this because we are few in number. Then he kept on asking the Prophet ﷺ to allow him to do this. And then Abu Bakr, when he stood up to give the khutbah in front of the Kaaba, in front of the kuffar, he was beaten so bad that you couldn't tell his nose from his mouth. You couldn't tell from his front of his face to from his back of his face. And he was on his verge of death, he was on the brink of death, when he suddenly woke up from unconsciousness. And the first words, what were the first words that he said? What happened to the Prophet ﷺ? How is the Prophet ﷺ? And then he was carried to the house of Al-Arqam radiallahu anhu, and he saw the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ kissed his forehead, and the Sahaba kissed his forehead. So we see how the Sahaba went through a lot of sacrifices and torment and torture for the sake of Islam. And inshallah, today I'm going to continue on with the story of another Sahabi. When you hear of torture, when you talk about torment of the Sahaba and the persecution that the Sahaba went through, there's names that come to mind. For example, Bilal radhiallahu anhu, which we talked about earlier. You have Bilal radhiallahu anhu, you have different Sahaba that come to mind that were beaten and tortured. The Sahaba Abu Bakr radhiallahu anhu comes to mind when he was beaten, for example, this incident that I mentioned. And there were others also, and because of their beatings, they eventually went to Habasha for the first hijrah in Islam. And we're going to inshallah talk about that next week. But before that, I wanted to talk about another Sahabi by the name of Khabbab ibn al-Arat radhiallahu anhu. And he's not famous that much, as in people don't really, his name does not come to mind when you hear about, when you think about the torment of the Sahaba during the time of the Meccan period. But Khabbab ibn Arat radhiallahu anhu was one of the most tortured Muslims of that time. And there was a famous incident where Umar radhiallahu anhu and the Sahaba, they were sitting in the Tabi'in, they were sitting in the Khalafa, during the Khalafa of Umar radhiallahu anhu, and they were talking about the different, you know, times. Basically, they're talking about the past. They're talking about the different incidents and different experiences that they went through in the time of Mecca. And at that point, when they asked Khabbab radhiallahu anhu, all he did was, he didn't have to speak. He just uncovered his back, and they saw the pain and torment that he went through. His back was black and blue because of all different colors, because of the torment and torture that they had meted out to Khabbab radhiallahu anhu. Now, Khabbab radhiallahu anhu, excuse me, this young man, he was actually around, you would say, 16 years old when he became Muslim. And at a young age, even younger, when he was a small child, his tribe of Tamim, he's from Banu Tamim, from Najd, and his tribe and another tribe called Rabi'a, they actually went to battle, they had a battle, and because his tribe lost, the other tribe, Rabi'a, took captives. So, and he was one of those that was taken as captive, and he was sold as a slave, a young boy sold as into slavery, and then from one owner to another, going from one owner to another, he eventually ended up in the marketplace of Uqadh, and then he went into the streets of Makkah Mukarramah. So now when he went to Makkah Mukarramah, there was a woman by the name of Anmar al-Khuza'iyah, and this woman, she saw this young boy, and she saw some future in him as being young. She thought, okay, if I train him, he'll learn the arts. Excuse me. He'll learn the arts. He'll be able to do a lot of work for me. So she buys this young slave, and she puts him under the tutelage of a blacksmith to learn how to make swords. And so he starts to make swords, and he starts to become an expert in making swords. So if you guys know who Dali Demir is, that's probably... But anyway, so he was a blacksmith, he was making swords in Makkah Mukarramah, and he became an expert in in making swords. Now, as he's doing this, and also he was... as he's doing this, and he overhears people talking about Islam, and then he eventually becomes Muslim. He was actually the sixth, some ulama say the sixth person to become Muslim. So very early on, and he's a young boy, about 16 years old, teenager at that time. And so Anmar, his slave owner, she hears about the Islam of her slave. So she sends her son, Siba'a ibn Abdul Uzza, and she sends, he goes with some of his friends, like you could say a gang of his friends, and they were sent to go and ascertain as if this if it's true or not, if Khabab had, their slave had become Muslim or not. So now Siba' ibn Abdul Uzza, he goes up to Khabab ibn Arat Radaran. Khabab Radaran is busy with his sword, making his swords, he's busy in his shop, and this man walks up to him, the son of his slave owner, and he says to him that we heard a khabar, that a khabar has come to us. He says to him that لَقَدْ بَلَغَنَا عَنْكَ بِنَبَأٌ لَمْ نُصَدِّقُهُ, that a khabar, some news has come to us that we don't believe. We don't believe in this news, but we want to know what we want to know the truth behind this. And he says to he asks them, وَمَا هُوَ, what is this khabar, what is this naba, this news that you speak about? He says that يُشَاعَ عَنَّكَ sabat, that it's being spread in the community in Makkah Mukarramah. It's being, people are whispering to each other, people are telling each other that you have become a Sabi. You have left the religion of our forefathers, you have left the religion of idolatry, and you have become a Sabi. So they would say this to the Muslims, meaning whoever would leave idolatry and become a Muslim, they wouldn't say aslamt, they would say sabat, that you have become a sabi. So he says that you have become a sabi, wa tabi'ta ghulam ibn Hisham, that you have followed that young man of Banu Hisham. So Khabab Radan calmly and collectively turns to them and says to him that you heard wrong. And so this probably, you know, saturated, they're like, okay, he hasn't become Muslim. But then he follows up with Kalam, and he tells him that I haven't sabat, ma sabatu, I have not left my religion. وَإِنَّمَا آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَنَبَذْتُ أَصْنَامَكُمْ وَشَهِدْتُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ. He says that I haven't sabat, I did not become a sabit, but in fact I have believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I have rejected your asnam, and I believe in the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the messenger and the last messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as his slave and his messenger. As soon as they heard this, they all pounced upon him and they started beating him, and not only just beating him with their fists. Remember, he was an ironsmith. He was making swords. So they went to his shop. They grabbed some iron rods and they start beating him with the iron rods until he became unconscious in a pool of blood. Now Khabab Radan is in this state, unconscious, and as he wakes up, he doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know how he got home. Someone must have dragged him home or whatever, and he's home now. And the next day, they come and ask him again, have you left your religion? And he says again, yes, I have become Muslim. He says, I have believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have become Muslim. And they do it again. So they keep on beating him over and over again. They keep on torturing him over and over again. And they would whip him, they would, again, their usual tactics, they would whip him, they would leave him out without food or drink, leave him out in the hot sun with steel armor or iron armor, wearing that in the hot sun, so that he would burn, his body would burn, and he would, you know, be almost on the brink of death. Now, Khabbab Radhan is going through all this torture and all this torment, and he's not leaving his religion. He keeps on saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the messenger. Now, Khabbab Radhan, actually later on, one day this is during the time of Umar bin Khattab radhiallahu anhu, when he's Khalifa, and he enters upon the room of Umar radhiallahu anhu, who lets him sit on his seat. So, you know, usually when we're in our homes, we have a special spot or like a sofa or a spot where we like to sit. So he allows Khabbab radhiallahu anhu to sit on his spot. And he says to Khabbab radhiallahu anhu that مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ أَحَدٌ أَحَقَّ بِهَذَا الْمَجْلِسِ مِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا رَجُلٌ وَاحِدٌ. He says that there's no one more worthy than you to sit on this spot except for one man. And Khabbab radhiallahu anhu says, and who is this man? Who are you speaking to about? He says that is Bilal radhiallahu anhu. And Khabbab radhiallahu anhu at that point, not to put down Bilal radhiallahu anhu, not to diminish anything that Bilal radhiallahu anhu did or any competition or anything like that, but he says to Umar, telling him the reality, he says, no, not even Bilal radhiallahu anhu. I have gone through more torture than Bilal radhiallahu anhu did. And he says that how they would get him and they would burn hot coal. You know, when we do barbecue, we take about half an hour to start the coal, get the coal red hot, and then we put the meat on, we start cooking. So they would get this coal, they would lay it out on the ground, and when it's burning red hot, they would lay him down on top of the coal. And not only that, they would get their feet or their legs, and they would push down on his chest, making him burn even more. And they would do this until, he says that nothing would make the coals go out, nothing would put out the fire. He says that the ard and this coal and this stuff would not go out except by the shahm of my dar. The fat of my back would melt and it would fall onto that hot coal, and it would keep on falling. Piece of his back, pieces of his flesh would fall onto that hot coal until that hot coal went out, it burnt out. So this is the torture that Khabbab radhiallahu anhu would go through. And there's a famous hadith related by Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, where the Khabbab radhiallahu anhu says that he himself is the narrator of this hadith. He says that I went to the Kaaba where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was leaning on one of his chadars, you could say, or one of his rida. He was leaning on it, and Khabbab radhiallahu anhu goes up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says to him, "Ala tastansiru lana? Ala tad'una lana? Ala tad'u lana? Will you not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us? Will you not make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us victorious?" And Rasulullah ﷺ at that point, he sits up and his face becomes red. He gets infuriated by these words and he teaches Khabbab radhiallahu anhu a lesson. He says to Khabbab radhiallahu anhu, he says to him that قَدْ كَانَ مَنْ قَبْلَكُمْ يُؤْخَذُ الرَّجُلْ فَيُحْفَرُ لَهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيُحْفَرُ لَهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He says that a man from the past, from before you, they would be taken and they would dig a hole into the ground, into the earth. فَيُجْعَلُ فِيهَا. So they would put this person inside that hufra, into that hole. ثُمَّ يُؤْتِي بِالْمِنْشَارِ فَيُوْدَعُ عَلَى رَأْسِهِ. So they would bring a saw and they would put it on his head and they would ask this person, do you go back on your religion? Will you leave your Islam? And this person would reject, for يُجْعَلُ نِصْفَيْنِ. So then that person would be cut, sawed in half, and he would stay on their religion. وَيُمْشَتُ بِأَمْشَاتِ الْحَدِيدِ. And others would be brought forward, they would be put into the ground, so they can't run, they would be buried in the ground halfway, so they're not able to run away. And they would bring combs of iron, made of iron. مَا دُونَ لَحْمِهِ وَعِذْمِهِ. And they would take these combs of iron and they would rake out and scrape out the skin and the meat and take it off the bones. They would scrape it off the bones until that person would die from the severe torment and the pain from that he would die, and that person would not leave their religion. Then Rasulullah says, "I swear by Allah, wallah." He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah liyutimman Allah hadha al-amr, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this go through. He will make this deen zahir fil ard. He will make this deen go out to all the corners of this earth. And hatta yasir al-raqib min san'a ila al-hadramaut la yakhafu illa Allah. That a person will go from one area to another. To these areas that are mentioned are areas where it was dangerous to travel alone because there would be highway robbers and so on and so forth. So the Prophet ﷺ mentions these areas, saying that a person would go from this area to another and they would not fear anything or anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and on the wolf eating their sheep. That's the only fear that they would have. Meaning that the world would become full of aman and full of safety and security by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ But you are hurrying. You are مُسْتَعْجِل. مُسْتَعْجِل means someone who hurries and someone who wants something to come before the time comes. And one of the things about this hadith is the Prophet ﷺ is not telling him that, you know, he's not downplaying the torture that he's going through. Khabbab radhiyallahu anhu is if not the same, maybe even sometime, those people of the past, they were killed. The only thing was Khabbab was tortured and tortured and tortured, and he outlived that torture. That's the only difference. But he was almost the same way they were tortured, he was being tortured. So Rasulullah is not downplaying his torture or anything like that, but he's teaching him a lesson. He's telling him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing tarbiyah. This is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a test and trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to separate the good from the bad, to separate those who are pure and that which is evil and that which is impure. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is from the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He sends tests and trials to separate and purify the Muslims. Those who have weak iman, they become stronger iman. And those who are not believers, true believers, they leave Islam or they lose their iman. So Rasulullah is teaching him this lesson to have sabr. And we know from Surah An-Kabut, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. That the people, do the people think that they will be left alone, that they say that we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وهم لا يفتنون, and they will not be tested and trialed, they will not be going through any tests or trials. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say in the next ayah, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ, that verily we have tested those before. And this goes back to the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ is talking with the people of the past. So verily we have tested those before them. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely know or find out, you could say, الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. And this, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. Allah knows the past, knows the future. There is no time and place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not bound by time and place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, has all knowledge. So this doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will find out, but it means that you will find out, that you will be shown. You will be shown who is the one sadaqu, who is the one who is truthful in their word. وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely show you who is from the kathibin, those who are liars and those who are untruthful in their speech, in their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a great lesson from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaching us to have sabr. And we see, like, nowadays all these tests and trials that the Muslims are going through, and it feels like it's getting worse and worse. And one of the things we know, that kullama ishtadda dhalam, that whenever it gets darker and darker, the darker it gets, then yati sabah. So then after that the sabah comes, after that fajr comes, after that the sun rises. So we see that we're going spiraling, the world is spiraling down and getting worse and worse now. All these tests and trials that Muslims are going through. Alhamdulillah, we're with afia, we haven't gone through anything. The worst that we feel or something is maybe someone spits in our face or yells at us or calls us bad names. But the people, the Muslims in all over the world, what they're going through and being killed, their children being killed in front of them, they are being tested and tried in that way. And we know that the Nasr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qareeb, inshallah. The help of Allah is going to be coming soon, inshallah. So now Anmar, slave owner, one of the things she sees, one day she sees Khabbab speaking with the Prophet ﷺ. So in her anger, she gets a hot iron rod from the shop and she starts to brand, or you could say burn, the head of Khabbab until he falls unconscious. So she would do this, and again they would come, her son would come and the gang of, you know, the relatives, they would come and they would beat him until he would become unconscious. And this would happen over and over again. But when we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed Khabbab radhan the end of those who do evil, Anmar herself, before she passed away, she got some kind of disease that she would have these severe headaches. And the only way those severe headaches would be, the pain would go down, would be by getting hot iron rods, and she would brand herself. So she would be branding herself and that would ease the pain, and then she died eventually from this. So this is one of the things that Khabbab radhiyallahu anhu saw, as those who were meeting out the torture and torment to Khabbab radhiyallahu anhu, they themselves eventually were punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Her son Siba'a, he actually died at the hands of Hamza radhiyallahu anhu in the Battle of Uhud. So you know, we have the Mubaraza before the battle starts. You have one-on-one battles. So Hamza radhiyallahu anhu actually killed Siba'a before the Battle of Uhud, or during the Battle of Uhud. He was killed at the hands of Hamza radhiyallahu anhu. Now Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, seeing the torture that Khabbab radhiyallahu anhu is going through, he eventually buys his freedom. And Khabbab radhiyallahu anhu is a free man now. So he starts, you know, doing his own business and whatnot. And one of the incidents that happens is a man by the name of Al-As ibn Wa'il. He was one of the notables of Mecca, one of the leaders of Mecca who was not Muslim. And Khabbab says that I made some swords for him until he owed me some money. So he probably made some swords for him. He didn't pay him at that time. I told him, I'll pay you later. So he owed him some money. He said, I went to him to ask him for the money. And he says to him that I will not give you the money until you disbelieve in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You leave your religion and I'll pay you your money. Now Khabbab radhiyallahu anhu, he says to him that la wallah la aqdika hatta takfar bi Muhammad. So As ibn Wa'il says to him that I will not pay you back until you disbelieve, hatta takfar bi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you leave the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says that Khabbab radhiyallahu anhu, he says that I said to him, "Ama wallahi hatta tamut thumma tub'ath fala." He says, even if you, he says, until you die and resurrected, meaning that, you know, if this happens right now, I will not disbelieve in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And As ibn Wa'il, right then he responds by saying, "Wa inni lamayyit thumma mab'uth." He starts mocking Khabbab radhiyallahu anhu. And he says to him that if I die, will I come back alive? Will I be brought back to life? Remember, the people of Mecca did not believe in the Akhirah. Okay, they didn't have the iman in the Akhirah. They thought that, and that's what caused them to be so cruel. And all the, you know, the dhulm that they would do, and the cheating, and the haram, all the acts that they would do, is because they didn't have the belief in the Akhirah. So he says that, will I be brought back to life after I die? And then Khabbab says, "Na'am qal." فَإِنَّهُ سَيَكُونْ لِي ثَمَّ مَالٌ وَوَلَدٌ. So he starts mocking Khabbab radhiyallahu anhu. He says that, okay, if I am going to be resurrected, then I'll have my money and my children, I'll have everything that time. So you can come then, I'll pay you back then. Just come and you can ask for the money then. فَأَخْدِيكَ, I'll give you your money that time. So then at that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Suratul Maryam. where Allah says, "Afara'aita alladhi kafara bi ayatina?" Have you not seen the man who disbelieves in our ayat? وَقَالَ لَأُوتَيَنَّ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا. He says that he will be given wealth and children on that day. Another incident that occurs. So basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the ayat Surah Maryam that do you not see the one who disbelieves in our ayat? And he says that on that day, on the day of judgment, I'll have my wealth and I have my children and I'll give you the money back at that time. Okay. And actually the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, At-tala' al-ghayb, has this man seen the ghayb? Meaning he has seen into the hereafter, seen into the future. Amit takhadha 'inda ar-Rahman ahda? Or did he get a promise by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he will be given wealth and children on that day and he's going to be able to pay on that day? So another incident that actually happened, and to cut it short, I'll talk about this next time because this has to do with the Islam of Umar ibn Khattab radhan. So Khabab ibn Arat radhan has actually a big part in the Islam of Umar radhan. So we'll talk about that inshallah. Another thing was Hijrah. He was made mu'akhat with Tamim Mawla Kharas ibn Summa radhiyallahu anhuma. And one of the things about Khabbab radhiyallahu anhu, later on, okay, I'm going to skip on to just before his death, he became wealthy later on in his life. Remember, Khabbab radhiyallahu anhu died in the Khilafah, during the Khilafah of Ali radhiyallahu anhu. And this was in 37 after Hijri. So the 37th year after Hijrah. So he became wealthy later on and he made a modest home for himself in Kufa. And he says that he would cry a lot. They say he would cry a lot because he felt as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him the reward and the blessings of all his Islam in this world. And that he has basically nothing in the Akhirah waiting for him. So he would cry a lot. And one of the things that he would do is he would place a lot of his wealth in a corner of his house. And he would invite the needy to come and take whatever they wanted. And he would cry and he would say this to them that, you know, these things that we have been given from this dunya, these what we will part, and what I want is the akhirah. What I want to, you know, for the everlasting akhirah, inshallah. And one of the things he would remember also was the wrapping. You know, when the shroud of the burial, he would say that Hamza radhan, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was buried, and Mus'ab ibn Umair radhan, when they were buried in Uhud, they didn't even have enough clothes on their body that they would cover their face and their legs. So when they would cover their face, their legs would become uncovered, and so on and so forth. Now later on, when he becomes ill and he passes away in the 37th year of Hijri, Ali radhan passes by his grave after the Battle of Siffin. And he mentions, he says, whose grave is this? And they say that this is the grave of Khabbab ibn al-Arat radhiyallahu anhu. And Ali radhiyallahu anhu makes a beautiful statement at that time. He says, Rahim Allah Khabbaban, that may Allah have mercy on Khabbab radhiyallahu anhu. Aslama raghiban, he became Muslim but on his own, with his own raghba, as yearning for Islam, yearning for the truth. Wa hajra ta'an, and he did hijrah following the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَعَاشَ مُجَاهِدًا, and he lived his life as a mujahid. وَابْتُلِيَ فِي جِسْمِهِ, and he was tested in his body by you know, the torment he went through. وَلَنْ يُدَيِّ اللَّهُ أَجْرَ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never lets the ajr of those who do good go to waste. So we'll stop there inshallah. And one of the things we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us a tawfiq inshallah, to understand that any tests and trials, difficulties that we go through in our lives, this is khair for us, inshallah. Like the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, عجبا لأمر المؤمن فإن أمره كله له خير, that everything is good for the believer. If something evil happens to us, then we have sabr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write that as good. If something good happens to us, we have shukr, that will be written for us as good, inshallah. So, آخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. جزاك الله خير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والسلام على المرسلين. الحمد لله رب العالمين.